Amen. Thank you, Miss Elizabeth. Appreciate that song. In Christ alone, I place my trust and my hope, and thank the Lord for you singing this morning. Miss Elizabeth's been interning here in the offices and helping the ladies and many different things this summer, and thank God for her. And then, excuse me, being part of the music program until she goes back to school here in just a matter of days, but thank the Lord for her. Thank you, Elizabeth. Well, would you turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3? Galatians chapter 3, and we'll get into the Bible message this morning and ask God to bless as we do. Galatians 3, as you're finding your place there, I did hear this story about this lady that came to a farm with some friends, came over to her grandpa's farm, and or the friend of the grandpa's friend. And so this young lady came, and she was intrigued by all the things, and she said, well, how come, it looks like they're all different. He said, how come this cow right here doesn't have horns? And so the grandpa said, well, some breeds just don't have horns. And she said, some of them, when they get a little too big, they get too dangerous, and so they'll hurt themselves or hurt one of us, and so we dehorn them. It's all, we're safe in that. And then some of them, when they're born, we put a little acid right there where the horns would be, and that keeps them from growing. And she said, oh. And the farmer said, but the reason that this cow doesn't have horns is because this cow is a horse. So it's all in what you ask, I guess. So Galatians chapter 3, it's good to see each of you. I think that I see a little Ireland up there. Is that her up there with us, Ashley? Oh, praise the Lord. And little Ireland Phillips and mom and baby up there. Praise the Lord for them being with us this morning. And we're so thankful for God's blessings on that family. Galatians chapter 3, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I take your attention to that verse, the verse in the very first of the chapter, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, and before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? I want to preach for a little while about keeping your eyes on Christ, or I could parallel title it, Who Have You Been Listening To? Because there's a group of people here that listen to the wrong person. We've got a group of people that take their eyes off of Christ, oh foolish Galatians, who've bewitched you. And we've got a group here that they listen to somebody specifically, as you see, it says, who hath bewitched you? Can I just remind you that this verse states, or this book rather, states earlier in the chapter prior, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But what these Galatians were having trouble with, although they'd been preached to that salvation was by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, just as any Bible-believing church would preach in the present day. But this church of Galatia was beginning to weave back in that salvation by grace. They were starting to weave back in the thing of works. There were Judaizers who were present in the day, and they were wanting to reach back and take some things under the law, and they were saying, yes, be saved by faith, yes, do that, but you ought to also, you need to also do these things. And they were weaving as a tapestry the works of the law into the message of grace. And the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of God, is writing back to them to tell him, you've been bewitched, oh foolish Galatians. Who did this to you? And I'd like to look at some aspects of the Galatians getting their eyes off of Christ. Now, specifically, as I mentioned, the direct interpretation of the passage is they were getting their eyes off Christ in the message of works versus grace in salvation. But in the application sense, I could say that we all can get our eyes off Christ if we're not careful in many different areas of our lives. And I think the reason that they got their eyes off Christ can creep up and be our detriment as well. And they can creep up and allow us to go wrong in our view or our image, or not our image, but our view and our followership of Christ. Bless us, Father. Our prayer is that you'd get glory out of everything that goes on today. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever been riding with somebody that after you rode with them for a while, you're thinking, Lord, why did I ever get in this car? Not only are they not careful as they should be, but not only do they not see what's coming up as good, no wonder they can't see. They're looking over at you half the time. And they're talking to you, holding on a good conversation with the wheel, or hopefully they're going straight, and then once in a while they veer back at the road, and you're making all kinds of promises to God. Oh, Lord Jesus, if you just get me out of here, I'll do whatever. I'll go to the mission field. I'll give up Coca-Cola. I'll give up coffee. I'll give up. I'll give anything up. I'll do whatever. Lord, just let me get out of here. And you're praying and seeking the Lord over there, having personal revival while this person over there won't keep their eyes on the road. When finally you get to the destination, you feel like getting out of the car, getting on the ground and kissing it and saying, oh, I never thought I'd see you in such an easy fashion. I thought I'd be crashing, careening towards you in some crash. But you're glad. You want to tell that person, keep your eyes on the road. In our Christian life, we don't need to keep our eyes on the road per se, but we do need to keep our eyes on Christ. You know, so many people that you know and I know that have gotten off track in their Christian life. So many people should be here today. Now, it's hard to tell in this season who's here and who's not here, because you may come to the other service or you may watch it online. But I'm not talking specifically about sitting in these pews. But you know and I know what we're talking about. There's so many people that should be gathered around the Word of God somewhere today, but they're not. They got their eyes off of Christ. They got it on somebody. They got it on something. They got it on some event. They got it on something. And you couldn't find him in church if you had to. You couldn't find him around the Word of God if you had to. They got their eyes on something other than Christ. The Bible says, as the apostle was talking to these Galatians, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I want to bring to you this morning just a few points, and I want you to see in this look that the Scriptures talk about, that I want you to see there was a bewitching look. The Bible says, who hath bewitched you? The word bewitched just means this, to fascinate by false representation. Meaning, to catch the allure of by something that's not true, that's not what it should be, to fascinate in a false representation. I think about this group of people here at Galatia. They were taught the Word of God. They were taught salvation by grace alone. And yet when somebody else came in, they were enamored by the teaching of somebody else. So instead of keeping their eyes directly on the Lord, instead they're looking over here into false doctrine and getting off into certain things that they ought not. The current car we have is a GMC, and we were looking at that one time at a car lot. Amy wasn't home, and Jared and I were looking at it, and so we needed something that was fairly economical, was priced right, family friendly. It's got a third row, and so we knew what we were looking at, and I was at this car lot looking at this Acadia, and then I was looking at a Traverse and looking at some other ones there. But before I knew it, I was looking at this Dodge Challenger with a 392 in it. And I was the guy looking for this family vehicle. Like Mike Hodges has got, I was looking for this one that had a horrendous, wonderful engine. It sounded great and everything. And I thought, oh, no, that's not right. And so I thought, okay, I need to get back on track, just like we do in our Christian life. Oh, no, let's go back over here. And so I went back over there. And as I went back over there, before I knew it, after I started looking again at that GMC that we were looking at, on the other side of it was a Corvette. And so I thought, wow, this used car section. So I went from a Dodge with at least had a back seat now to a two-seater Corvette. And I thought, boy, just think of the visitation I could do in this. I was bewitched. Now, I didn't get it. I was bewitched to look at it, but I was married, so I didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? You remember those things. I was fascinated. This is what I need. Just think of, the Bible says the Old Testament, the Lord's business requires haste. Just think of how quick I could get from one visit to the next visit in this car versus the minivan that we had before the GMC. I thought, God must be in this. As much as I wrestled with it, I could not convince the Holy Spirit that I was right and He was wrong. I was fascinated, bewitched. And the Bible says about this group of believers here, this is a serious offense that they have. It says here that ye should not, look at your verse in verse number one, that ye should not obey the truth. These folks were making some serious error. This wasn't just some preference. This wasn't just something that, some glib change of mind. They were making some serious offenses here. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? This group of people had gone down some wrong roads, and they had went down some serious roads. And I'm telling you this morning, friends, we've got to be careful not to let a charismatic personality on some other side or sympathy on our side deliver us to a wrong destination. All of us know the story and the old fables of the Pied Piper. If you're not careful, we can all follow a Pied Piper to a spot that we shouldn't. Maybe it's some very gifted speaker that's very blessed in the way that he can present things, and yet he gets you to a wrong doctrinal position. My friend, I'm just telling you, there was a bewitching look. But before there was a bewitching look, I want you to see, as at the end of the verse here, there was also necessity, would say, there was a neglectful look, because look at the end of verse number one. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? But look here, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently been set forth crucified among you. There was a reason they were susceptible to the bewitching look, because before the bewitching look came, they had a neglectful look. Meaning that they were neglecting to turn your eyes upon Jesus. I believe we'll hear it as our invitation song in just a little bit. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know how people get off in false doctrine? We stop looking at the real thing. We stop feasting our eyes upon Jesus. We stop looking intently into His life. We stop looking at Him. There was a neglectful look. There was a reason they were bewitched, and that's because they took their eyes off of Christ. That little phrase toward the end of the verse there, of verse number one, who hath evidently been set forth. That phrase set forth means placarded or painted. I don't know that the apostle actually used paintings as he taught the Galatians when he'd been there before, but they had obviously had word pictures painted to them about how good the Lord Jesus Christ and how true He was. These people knew the truth. Look at the very end of the verse. It says, He's been crucified among you. Not literally, He'd already been crucified on Calvary's hill, but they said the preaching, the teaching, the proclamation of the gospel has been given to you, and you've seen Him crucified among you. And then he says that back at the beginning of the verse, oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? What they bewitched you from? They bewitched them from that position of Jesus Christ being the only way of heaven. And they went to a position where some works got mingled in there. And they had to include what they could do and add that to what Christ had done. My friend, you don't add to what Christ has done. Oh, we live a Christian life to be honorable to the Lord. We live a Christian life to have a testimony so we can show others how to be saved. We live a Christian life because the Bible tells us how we ought to live. But my friend, you don't live any kind of Christian life to get to heaven. The Bible teaches that for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But there was a neglectful look. These people took their eyes off of Jesus. I see not only this neglectful look. Let's look down, if you will, in verse number 3. Are you so foolish? Now, people don't like preachers today calling people out, but the Apostle Paul, in inspiration of God, says, you foolish Galatians. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you made now made perfect by the flesh? My friends, I want you to see not only was there a neglectful look, but there was an inconsistent look. They start taking their eyes off Christ, and they start putting it on a man. You say, how do you know it's a man? Well, I don't know. Man, woman, somebody who hath bewitched you. Somebody has taken your attention off the truth and put it over here on an error. As I said, in that day, history would teach us that there were Judaizers. And these people were those that were reaching back into the law of the Jewish and Jewish tradition. And they were trying to impart those into the gospel message to say, yes, you need to come to Christ, but you also need to maintain or keep up the precepts and the rules and the laws given. You need to do both of those to be saved. Much like many of our friends would in other churches, say you need to come to Christ and be baptized. Some churches teach that you need to come to Christ and be speaking in tongues. That's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to come to Christ and my friend, we get in trouble anytime we put an and to where Jesus has put a period. Jesus, the Lord, God Almighty, put a period after you must be born again. And that's what's required for a person to go to heaven. But these folks, under the influence of these Judaizers, they were intertwining this works and grace. And that's how I get to the point number three. There was an inconsistent look. Look at this. They began the Spirit, are now you made perfect by the flesh. And I want to veer a little to the application side of it, not only in the specific interpretation of salvation, but I want you to think about this. How does a person saved, born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, on their way to heaven, grace-filled, love the Lord, open to everybody and tell folks anybody can be saved, and they have this love in their heart for those that Jesus loves, which is everybody. How does that person, with the love of God in their heart, get to a place some years down the line that they're so harsh and so judgmental and so temperamental in their outlook and in their faith and in their proclamations? I would say the same thing to them. They've got inconsistent. Also, I would say to that person who used to teach the Word of God is the Word of God, what it says, I believe, and now they veered to a position to where they would claim things that the Bible condemns, they say are all right now, that they say, well, the Bible says that about homosexuality, but who am I to say? The Bible says that about one way to heaven, but maybe there's many roads. There's about 70% of claiming evangelical Christians in America say they're not sure that Christ is the only way to heaven. How do you get to that point? You have inconsistent looks. You're looking at the Word of God and other things. You're looking at what God says plus what man says. My friend, listen, I understand we're in a day and age which nobody likes to have anything dogmatically said. And when you or I claim and we say that certain lifestyles are abominations before the Lord, and there's another group way over here, a very vocal group that says, how can you say that? You're hate-filled. And then we've got to decide, are we going to have an inconsistent look? And say, well, I do believe the Bible, but now there's some other things over here I'm not so sure about. Maybe they're right as well. Or are we going to have a unified look that says, listen, I can't explain it all, but what the Bible says, the Bible means, if you don't like the way God runs His universe, you're going to have to get another one. We understand that they had an inconsistent look. Whether we have a neglectful look or whether we don't stay consistent in our walk. My friend, I've heard for years that the way that they train government agents to be able to spot counterfeits are to handle a lot of the real thing on money. And all I can tell us this morning is the way that we can stay true, the way that we can stay Bible-centered, the way that we can say godly in our outlook, in our proclamations, in our preaching, our teaching, and even our lifestyle, the only way I can tell you to make sure you stay there is to handle the real stuff a lot. They say if you handle money enough and you handle the real thing, that there's just something that clicks when it's not real. My dad likes to collect a lot of old things, antiques and different things, and many antiques are made or are remade as cheap imitations, and sometimes when they're really good, it's hard to tell the difference between a real thing and the fake. As many of you have gone to different big cities, and you go into some of those big cities, and they'll have those vendors on the street corners, and they'll have a big old board of Gucci sunglasses or Ray-Bans, or they'll have Rolex watches. How many of you understand, if you get a Rolex watch for $20, either he's an idiot or you didn't get a Rolex. There's plenty of counterfeits. And these Galatians, they were believing some knockoffs, beliefs that weren't Bible-centered. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? And my friend, I'm afraid for some of us, any of us, it's not the pew, it's the pulpit too. There's many preachers I know that are veering off into things that the Bible never directed them to veer off in. There's preachers that I know, friends of mine, who the people that they preach to, they'll have to sit through a near rock concert before the preacher man gets up to preach. And I'd like to say to that brother, you've listened to the same things I have. You've heard the same Bible teaching that I have. You've heard the same holiness of the Lord that I have. You've been taught that we reverence the Lord and we come to worship Him. We don't come to rock it out. And I ask him, I would like to ask him, who's bewitched you? Who's taken what you had and veered you off? But whatever situation you're in, can I beg you to keep your eyes on Christ? There are people who would love to bewitch you. In your biblical stand, I don't care what it is, for marriage. Marriage is one man and supposed to be a man and a woman. You don't get to change the players. You don't get to say a man to man, a woman and a woman. You can do whatever you want, but not biblically you can't. Maybe it's your biblical stand about where you believe your family ought to live and behave and have our beings, and we're going to stay in this book. There's plenty of voices out there that are trying to pull you from that. Maybe it's in a relationship coming up and you've stood all your life on the Word of God. You say, that's where I stand. There's plenty of voices that say, yeah, it's kind of archaic. That's not necessary to stand like that anymore. That's of a different era. You've got to get with the times. There's always voices. Plenty of voices. But I pray that the Lord would never have to come to us like He had to come to the Galatians and say, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Oh, foolish Buffalo Ridge, who's bewitched you? Who got you to go down a path that you weren't supposed to go down? You believer in Jesus Christ, who bewitched you and got you off to where now you sit somewhere on the sidelines and don't worship the Lord and don't fellowship with His people and don't read His Word? Who hath bewitched you? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. I heard this preacher tell a story. He was preaching at a conference and two preachers that night. Before the service, there was somebody that was obviously didn't fit in, came in the back. And what I mean didn't fit in is he didn't fit in the rest of the congregation. He sat in the back and everybody else was nicely dressed and he was not. Long hair and a ball cap and several earrings and tennis shoes with no socks and ratty blue jeans. And he was, I always say this, Bible-believing churches were the first come as you are churches, because I think everybody ought to come as you are. I want everybody to come to church. But this fellow didn't, he obviously didn't fit in to the crowd. And so the second preacher had, the two preachers that night, the second preacher had made his way to the back and he said, hey man, it's good to see you. And he kind of fist bumped him and went on. After the first preacher preached, there was a little intermission, not intermission, but just a little interlude there, some songs. And the second preacher leaned over to the first preacher that had just got done and on the platform said, hey, I want you to pray for me. There's somebody that fell in the back. He said, I want you to pray that God will help me reach him in this message. The first preacher leaned over to the second preacher and said, well, I'm going to have to pray for you because I don't have any influence on him. That's my son. And he said, what are you doing up here? Why aren't you back there with your arm around your son? He said, man, there's so many preachers around here. If I did that, what would they think of me? My friend, we've been bewitched. If a dad can't put his arm around his son, it doesn't matter what he looks like. No matter how much he doesn't fit in the crowd. God, forgive us for our wicked hypocrisy and Phariseeism to think that we couldn't love our own children because somebody else might think something bad of us. We've been bewitched. Now listen, you know I'm all for dressing up for church, but everybody's welcome coming in that back door. We don't put on our sign, come as you are, but again, all our churches have always been come as you are. We hope that after a while you don't leave as you come, as the old saying goes. We want everybody here. And God have pity on us if we be like that first preacher that thought so much of what people thought of him that he wouldn't go love on his own son. My friend, it's possible for us to get bewitched. Oh, foolish Galatians. They had a bewitching look. I think that was brought on because they had a neglectful look. They didn't keep their eyes straight on Christ. They allowed something to come in their peripheral vision, and they allowed their attention to get drawn over to that peripheral vision thing. They had a neglectful look, and that caused them to have an inconsistent look. Now they're this ones, have you begun in the Spirit? Now you're going to try to finish it out in the flesh? Can't be. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, folks. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I don't want you to look to this church, or certainly don't want you to look to this preacher. I don't want you to look to what man can do or didn't do or should have done, but I want you to look to one person, that's Jesus Christ alone. But if you're here and you're saved, the same message goes for you. You don't need to look to this preacher. You don't need to look to this church. You need to look to Christ. Now, I can say that I believe if you look to Christ, you may not find yourself in this church. I think you'd find yourself in a church similar to this one, one that holds the Bible up as the preeminent Word of God, the inspired, inerrant Word of God. But I'm challenging you this morning to turn your eyes upon Jesus. I don't know where they've been, but I know where they should be. The Galatians got their eyes off Christ and got their eyes on somebody. And if you and I aren't careful, we'll do the exact same thing. Oh, it's a slow look. Doesn't happen immediately. It's a glance, turns into a stare probably, and then finally we're all the way over there. My friend, I'm begging you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Would you bow your heads? As our pianist comes to play, are your eyes on Christ, or have you gotten them on all kinds of other entities? Oh soul, are you weary? She's playing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, a wonderful, wonderful old song. My friend, I'm asking you the direct question. Are your eyes on Jesus Christ? Or if you'd be honest between you and God, has your view gotten duplicit? Has it gotten spread a little bit? Are you getting your eyes on somebody? I'm going to preach tonight about being bitter or better. I believe you get your eyes on the wrong person long enough, you can get bitter. I believe if Satan can keep people to get their eyes on people instead of Jesus, then he can keep them from getting saved for all their life. If Satan keeps an unsaved person focusing on the inconsistencies of the church, the hypocrisy of its members, then he can keep them so frustrated that they'll never come to Christ. But I believe he can get in the church like this and get us to get our eyes upon somebody else. Maybe a false teacher that's got such charisma, is just able to put things together in such a way that wows us. Or somebody that's just worldly and that allures us. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm asking you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Would you stand together with us as she's playing through and she continues on? If God's spoken to your heart this morning, my friend, would you come? Maybe you just need to come to this old-fashioned altar and say, I've got my eyes on Jesus. I got my eyes on the Lord. I never want to be indicted like the Galatians were, to be asked, who bewitched me? Got my eyes on Jesus. How about it, Christian brother, Christian sister? Would you come and just tell the Lord, Lord, I want to keep my eyes on you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. You've looked at preachers, you've looked at church members, you've looked at this, you've looked at that. But you need to look to Christ. You say, well, a Christian I knew one time, he was a hypocrite. Exactly. You need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. If you're here not saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit that was preached from. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. If you're a lady, you'd have a lady just take the Bible patiently and show you from it how you can be saved. Would you step out and come? As she continues to play on through another verse, this is your verse. If God's working on your heart, would you come? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, may the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church keep her eyes upon You. And may the good folks standing in front of me, may they keep their eyes upon You. May no one or no thing bewitch them. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may look this way. Thank you for being in church this morning. And I challenge you to get some of those gospel tracts. Maybe you've got them. Let's honor that prayer. I hope you prayed earlier. Lord, give me an opportunity. You may not pass out 100 of them. You may get one. You might not even get the paper out. But get our mouth open for the Lord. Let's share the gospel. You say, well, I don't know if I can get into all that. I tell you what, the best thing you do is just tell a little bit about what Jesus did for you. You may not get into verse after verse after verse, but what Jesus did for you. And if you're visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, there'll be somebody back at the Welcome Center, the desk out in the lobby, that would love to just fill out a guest card for you, and we'd have a record of your visit. I'd love to send you a note thanking you from me and Amy for coming, and we're certainly glad you and everyone are here. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.